Over the years, I have interviewed 1,000+ hospital managers and doctors. And so I've really learned about their challenges. I've learned what's important to them.
Hello, positive leaders. Thanks for joining us today. You are listening to the Positive Leadership Podcast with Andrea Crabtree and David List, a podcast for everything a veterinary manager needs to know to get the job done. We've been there and we know how hard it is and are here to help share our knowledge and expertise to elevate you. I'm Andrea Crabtree, co-founder of Positive Leadership Podcast, owner of FurPaws Consulting, a certified veterinary practice manager, and HR certified professional.
And I'm David Liss, co-founder of the Positive Leadership Podcast. I'm also a certified veterinary practice manager, hold an MBA, and I'm a registered veterinary technician.
And this podcast is for you, the veterinary practice manager, supervisor, leader. We want to elevate you by equipping you with relevant content, material, guidelines, instruction, feedback, and pro tricks and tips.
We will deliver real life experience along with our super smart guests that will get you through the obstacles that you're facing today with some bloopers and blunders along the way to remind you that you're not alone.
FurPaws Consulting has deep expertise in helping veterinary practices reach their full potential for all types of practices, whether specialty, emergency, or general practice, by working alongside the practice owner and manager. Are you a practice owner or practice manager with a challenge and not enough bandwidth to tackle it? Reach out to me, Andrea Crabtree, owner of FurPaws Consulting, with the question that keeps you up at night. I'm able to provide expertise and insight to navigate those tricky obstacles. Find my info in the show notes. Email me at andrea@furpaws.us or check out my website at www.furpawsconsulting.com. Welcome back, positive leadership listeners. Today we have a very special guest we're excited to have on, Connie Giuliano. She is the owner of Pause Time. Thank you so much, Connie, for joining the show. We're happy to chat with you today and bring you on and get into all things client service space. I know that's your jam.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Without having to read your bio, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got to be where you are today?
Sure. So I am a California native. So born in San Diego, live most of my life in California, although I have lived on the East Coast, New Jersey and Massachusetts. It's where my family is from, but primarily in California. So I started, I would say, my career in the printing industry. I worked for a company that does color separations. They don't really do that anymore. Everything's digital now. We worked with ad agencies, and then we would produce the film that they would get sent to publications for, like, you know, Mazda ads and, you know, go to Newsweek and that sort of thing. So it's all digital now. They don't do that. But anyhow, I was a production manager there, went into sales there, did that for several years. And then I moved on to a company called Oakwood Worldwide. If you're in California, you might be familiar with Oakwood Apartments. And so I worked in their corporate housing division. So I was the administrative manager there, worked with the general manager, supported. What we did there was corporate housing. So if you were to transfer somebody from, you know, Tennessee to St. Paul for a job, we'd set them up in an apartment for 2, 3, 4 months, whatever that might be. If someone was there for training for several months, we'd do that. So supported them in their, we had about 11 national managers, supported them in their budget processing and that sort of thing. I love that job. I worked there for many years, loved my boss. After I had my son, I worked from home. I worked remotely. This is way before working remotely was popular. So I did that for a while. They really needed somebody back in the office. So I left there. When I went back to work, I started working in the message on hold industry. Honestly, you hear messages on hold, like you were saying, get placed on hold, you hear messages. But the idea of the business of message on hold had never occurred to me.
It was just that's something you don't think about.
No, exactly. So, so I was the general manager, and when we were talking about message on hold, I'm like, oh, our niche there was really human healthcare, but mostly dentistry. Probably 95% of our clients were dentists, and so I stayed there for several years, 8 years, I believe, and then in 2008, I founded Pause Time.
Nice, awesome, I love it. Can you tell me your favorite book or podcast or continued education seminar or something that has made an impression on you and had a lasting effect?
You know, it's funny, when I saw the question, I thought about the book Presence by Ann Cuddy. In fact, I read it so many years ago, I'm actually re-listening to it now.
Yeah. Oh, wow, yeah. Nice.
But she talks a lot about being authentic. you know, kind of finding your place at the table, being true to yourself. And she was one of the first people that really started, remember when everybody really started talking about like the imposter syndrome? And that was a lot of what she did. So for me, a lot of my career has been spent with working basically where I was the only female at the table. And so we're working in industries where, like the three I just told you about, were all completely different industries. So I had to learn them kind of on the job. I really related to the imposter syndrome sort of thing in terms of finding your place at the table. So it's a great book. Definitely worth a read or listen if you guys, you know, prefer Audibles. Anyhow, so I would say it was probably Presence by Ann Cuddy.
Connie, it's great to connect with you. And I don't know you as well as Andrea does, but as I mentioned before we started, I've used PauseTime and just wanted to say it's, you know, a great product. And so, you know, thanks for coming on the show. Would love to hear a little bit about how, and I knew you kind of went a little bit about this in the first part, but I'd love to just hear more how you kind of founded PauseTime. Like what specifically led to that? And it was in 2008, which was a rough time to probably start a company. What motivated you to kind of branch out on your own? It must have been really scary to open up your own business. How did you find veterinary medicine? So give us a little bit about that background. We love to have entrepreneurs on the show and talk a little bit about what went through their heads and how they got there.
Yeah. So David, okay, so 2008, so I had been working in the message on hold industry. And as I said, we were primarily dentistry. We were the first message on hold company to be endorsed by the American Dental Association. I mean, we just really were in it. You know, we were the best in that industry in terms of message on hold. That was where I really saw how effective it can be, right? I never really thought about it, like I said. But like we were teaching people that your oral health was connected to your overall health, which now, of course, we're all aware of. But, you know, all of those things. Even things as simple as how easily changing your smile can change somebody's confidence. So we were doing a lot of that kind of stuff working with. But like I said, we were really niche. So for instance, in the dental industry, there are several different specialties. You know, there's oral surgery, there's prosthodontist, there's orthodontist. And we, pardon the pun, but drilled down to each one of those specialties. So we knew exactly what resonated with their patient base. So we really took a lot of pride in that. Like I said, first company to be endorsed by the American Dental Association. I was the general manager. I had a direction that I thought I wanted to kind of take the company in. The owner had a different direction. I wanted to go into more of a horizontal market. She really wanted to stay in that industry. So we had a lot of disagreements in where we were going with that. And ultimately, at the end of the day, she won, right? So I ended up in 2008 unemployed. So here I am. It's 2008. I am a single mom. I got a pretty big mortgage. And we're in the middle of the recession, right? I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? I loved message on hold. I also loved the veterinary industry or, you know, animal health. I was always a constant, you know, I'd been a pet owner, consumer forever. And I would call my vet's office and I would get placed on hold all the time. And it was always to, I'll never forget, Louis Armstrong, It's a Wonderful World. And I thought, oh my gosh, really? This is...
Oh, that's funny.
And so I thought, well... You know, and then I would kind of start asking questions and she really hadn't really thought about using message on hold. So 2008, I just thought, well, you know what? It's now or never. You've always wanted to be a business owner. So I jumped and it was scary. You're absolutely right.
Wow. Yeah. It's scary.
So
yeah.
Got a business loan, put together a business plan. I mean, I had obviously a lot of contacts in the message on hold industry, right? You know, script writers and voice talent and that kind of stuff. But we started recording out of my son's bedroom. So he had this big, huge piece of foam we put in the window. And then we would pray that nobody was going to have a roof put on that day or trees trimmed right on a recording day.
The dogs barking because of the gardener.
Airplanes, we'd have to stop, you know, during the airplane. And so when you hear our recording, you hear, you know, oh shit, there's another plane, you know, so we'd have to kind of, so that's how we started. And then I learned about the industry and, you know, I kind of started dialing for dollars, literally just started dialing for dollars. But I knew that the program that we had at my previous company, I knew it worked, but I knew it was outdated. You know what I mean? I knew that there was still a place that we could make it better. And so we went from what, you know, more of a traditional message on hold to what we do now, where we manage it for them 100%. We do, you know, we change the messages. So it was a great opportunity for me to be able to really bring to market my envision, you know, for what I had envisioned at the other company. And in an industry that, you know, I had always wanted to be a part of. So,
and it really needs it.
Yeah. Which I found as, you know, doing more and more research. But, you know, it's funny because in that book, Presence, she talks about make it until you become it. So, you know, this saying was always fake it until you make it. So she
fake it till you make it.
So she does fake it until you become it. That's not the first time. I mean, that job I had at Oakwood, when I first went to interview for that, interview went great. the person I was interviewing with says, so do you know Word? So I'm aging myself now, but Word was like kind of a newer word processing program. There was lots of other ones. So I'm like, yeah, of course I know Word. And so interview went great. And so I left and I thought, well, geez, I might get this job. So I stopped at the bookstore, got a book on Word, learned as much as I could, got hired, and then learned the rest of it on the job. So I kind of was familiar with that, you know, having to just jump in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was scary, but it turned out to be great. But I mean, ups and downs, right? Easy times, harder times.
Sure. So, yeah, right. So talk to me a little bit about staying current in the veterinary profession, especially coming from a lens that you're not in the practice or coming from a veterinary background. How do you make sure that your message or the content is always cutting edge and is always exactly what it needs to be relevant for the practices?
Yeah. So first of all, I kind of like to do what's, you know, I like to howdy, right? So when we get on the call with somebody, I like to spend time talking, chatting, getting to know the person and that sort. So I've learned a lot from my relationships with hospital managers, doctors, that sort of thing, people in the industry. But over the years, you know, we interview every one of our hospitals and I do the majority of it. So over the years, I have interviewed 1,000+ hospital managers and doctors. And so I've really learned about their challenges. I've learned what's important to them. So on that side of it, in terms of actually being kind of immersed in the industry by actually from the people that are spending the days doing it. And then our scriptwriters use, in terms of the messaging, they always use sites, for instance, AVMA, AHA, for things like, for instance, when the American Heartworm Association, we just did a spot in April and were able to actually include new statistics on how heartworm is traveling to areas that we never used to see it before. We'll do things like, for instance, the ASPCA for poison control and that sort of thing. So we stay on top of all of that by using very trusted sources. And of course, we also are reviewing clients' websites. If we're talking about third-party financing, we actually go to the company's website. We learn about that. Oftentimes, we're able to share things with our clients that they weren't aware of. If it's a product that they want to talk about, of course, we go to Librela is a big one right now. Solensia is a big one. Of course, we access Zoetis' site. I know when we were talking a lot about the canine flu, Merck was a great resource for it. So we stay on top of all of that. We never, ever use a site that we know cannot be a trusted source. So between that and you know, between that and working directly with the hospitals, like I said, we don't use questionnaires. We're actually in contact one-on-one. And then other people in the industry, for instance, working with other consultants or, you know, we work with pharmaceutical reps. We work with a ton of people in the industry, professionals as well. That's how we kind of keep everything as relevant as possible. We stay on top of things. For instance, you know, as you guys know, things change, right? There used to be a time where early spay was popular, right? As soon as you get your puppy, you get him spayed immediately. That's not the case anymore.
Not anymore.
It used to be annual vaccines, no matter what. Everybody got the same thing, not the same anymore. So those are all the things that we stay on top of. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, kind of in that vein, I know that you have a passion for animal welfare and advocacy within the vet community. And so how do you kind of balance, and this is just like a work-life balance thing, how do you balance running your own business, which is probably very busy and probably also very stressful, and also get a lot of nonprofit, charity, passion work done? How do you kind of balance those two?
Honestly, David, I don't do a lot of that charity work. But what I do is I believe that what pause time brings to the veterinary community, I feel like that kind of is a lot about my passion to making sure that people are educated, to make sure we're partnering with the veterinarians and the hospitals, hospital managers, to make it easier for them to educate, create awareness, you know, that sort of thing. So that's really kind of, I think, what my part of what I think I give back to the community.
Awesome. That's great. I want to pivot a little bit to pause time as a product that you bring to practices to, you know, to enhance them. Tech and automation and AI and all these fancy words are getting thrown around, machine learning, all this kind of stuff. What role does technology play at your company and how do you use it to create and deliver your on-hold programs, your other communication systems? And also how do you like maybe speak to a little bit of integration? Like how do you ensure that it talks to, communicates, whatever those terms are, you know, the APIs or whatever into the like gazillion different practice management systems that we have out there?
Yes, I think we're a great mix of technology and also a lot of one-on-one personal interactions. We know how hot, busy the hospitals are, so we really kind of make it our projects. As things have changed, like for instance, voice over IP internet phones have become huge. They've taken over. So we used to always do business with people that had digital phone systems, and we would plug the hardware in, we'd plug it into the internet, and you know, that was that. But even then, we walk all of our clients through, we hold their hands through the whole process. But now we did have to change a little bit of how our content was delivered when more hospitals went to voice over IP internet phones. We work directly with the providers. As soon as somebody tells us that they're using internet phones and they tell us who the provider is, you know, 9 times out of 10, we've already worked with them. Our product actually works really well with the new technology, the voice over IP, because the way that we deliver our content is all through automatically being delivered through our content management software. It doesn't go to their practice management software. It goes to their phone systems through the internet. It allows us to make changes on the fly. It also allows us to make automatic reminders. We can track if somebody has downloaded a file or not, if they're using internet phones, if they're using hardware, we can track all of that. So we reach out to them, make sure everything's current. It has been a little bit of a challenge at first when everybody started going voice over IP, but it's actually turned out to be, like I said, we've just kind of pivoted, refocused on our content management software so that we were able to make it as easy as possible. And it's all kind of automated that way. So that's what allows the hospitals to keep their messages as current without ever having to come back and ask us, hey, I've made changes. You know, how am I going to do this? We just do it for them automatically through technology.
Yeah, I remember old school, like having to plug in like a little USB stick or whatever it was, right? Like we're dating ourselves there, right? Oh, yeah. Like I totally remember that.
Oh, yeah. And, and sometimes I remember, I remember all the way where they would like send the USB to the, you get a new USB and plug it in.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Every quarter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Like this is the holiday one or this is Q1 or right.
And you know, the problem with that, you guys, is that typically hospitals are so busy, they don't even know what they're playing. You know what I mean? If you leave, if you leave it to
no clue.
So, I mean, I've had like, I'll call a hospital and I'll say, well, what are you playing now? And they're like, I don't know, hold on. And they put me on hold. And then they come back, they go, what is it? What am I playing? Am I playing anything?
Idea. Not surprising.
Christmas music in July.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So talk to me about some common challenges that practices face. I'll say practices, but I feel like this is geared toward practice managers and leaders. So what kind of challenges do we face regarding client communication? And with that, then how does PauseDive step in and address those challenges?
Good question. I mean, I think that there's a lot of different layers to that. I mean, I think there's certain things that stand in the way of client communication, and then there's other things that would be, that would deliver the client communication. So I think first off, what makes the client communication effective? So I think first off, what stands in the way of it is really just a lot of times just manpower, right? People just don't have the time, just a lack of education, a lack of client communication. It's not an indictment on the practice. It really is not. I mean, it's just reality. They only have so much time. Oftentimes the pet owners don't have the time, right, to spend at that moment. I think it really, it's a matter of trying to find an avenue to deliver that in a way that people are receptive to it. On the flip side, I think the messaging is that it's all about preventive care, right? We know that, you know, if somebody has a dog that's had diarrhea for 4 days, they're coming in, but we don't necessarily have people that are staying on top of their preventive care because they don't necessarily see the value in it, right? And we know that people think, their perception oftentimes of veterinary care is it's just too expensive. And everything is expensive until we know the value in it. So I think the need to for client communication is huge in the veterinary industry. I look at Nextdoor. I watch Nextdoor all the time. I mean, like I said, I've been a consumer my entire life of veterinary care. I know what things kind of resonate with me that feel like, oh, is this, you know, but then when you have the education, it makes sense. But on the same hand, you have to make it easy and you have to make it affordable. It can't be another job that the hospital managers have to do. I mean, first of all, it kind of is putting something on them that they're not good at. Do you know what I mean? It's not their skill set. And so you're just adding another thing to make them kind of feel bad about the fact that I didn't get to get this done. Or they get somebody that tells them, hey, do you know you're still playing Halloween messages? And they're like, oh, shit, just one more thing I got to fix.
It's February. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we just take it out of their hands. You know, we know what is effective. We know what works for them. We step in and we keep the messages relevant. We change them on a regular basis. We make it easy for them to make changes. We manage it all the way down to, like I was saying, that we'll go back and see that their messages haven't updated. Sometimes it's just a matter of we have to call them and they go, oh, okay, well, we change our email address or, you know. So that's really, I think the client communication, I think, is huge. And I think that we have to look at every opportunity to deliver that messaging, because you never know when it's going to be the right time. I could have somebody say to me, you know what, your dog really needs to have, you know, a dental. And I'm like, well, geez, you know what, I didn't expect that, you know, he was going to come in here with an ear infection that just cost me X amount of dollars. This is not the time to talk to me about a dental. But next time I may be calling to see if you have a dog, you know, a bag of dog food, and I hear it again, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, time to do that dental. So it's just important to constantly keep it consistent.
That makes sense. Again, in that regard, what are we doing wrong right now, whether or not they use pause time, right? Kind of, you know, regardless of that, what advice would you give to veterinary managers, owners, whoever, that kind of have whatever status quo they have right now for client outreach, client communication, on-hold messaging or on-hold ads? And what should they be doing or thinking about to improve that?
To improve their client communication or to improve...
Yeah, I mean, you could start there. I mean, I think obviously you're uniquely qualified to speak on kind of a wide range of client communication strategies. So, I mean, definitely probably feature if they don't have hold messaging now, or if they have that horrible music, why should they maybe convert to like a service or product that you guys use, like on hold messaging, and maybe other communication streams that you think a lot of practices don't have that, you know, frankly, you guys offer, but you would encourage practices to look into as well. So maybe kind of both of those.
And even services kind of that you don't offer as pause time. I feel like you are such a wealth of information and knowledge about high-end client service, and that client service can communicate into a client communication strategy. So speak to that from a lens that it may not be a service that pause time has, but you know, you work with thousands of hospitals all over the country. You know what good client service is. And then again, that translates into whatever that client communication strategy is. Absolutely share with us what pause time does as far as a piece of advice that we can say, like, yeah, message on hold, make sure you switch up that Louis Armstrong song or whatever it may be. But also then, like, what other client communication strategies are we missing that our practice managers should be evaluating?
First of all, I think it's a matter of just starting with the message on hold part of it, or the whole time regardless, is I think that the idea is that you're not going to get rid of hold time. You're just not going to. You just cannot eliminate it if you are going to maintain relationships with your clients. So that's just number one. If you look at a client base and you say, you're never going to say that every one of my clients, or the majority of my clients even, okay, even let's say 90% plus, have follow me on social media, right? You're not going to say they've been on my website, because once they're an existing client, they're probably not popping on your website. Now, you may have other tools on your website, your online booking may be on there, all of these other reasons that they should go on there, even reasons just to build relationships with you. 90% probably has not downloaded your app or, you know, that sort of thing. But I will tell you that probably 90% have called one time or another. They have called your hospital. They've used the telephone. I mean, that's a huge percentage of your market that you want to make sure you're tapping into. But those things can also, with the time that you're using on hold and the things, the messages, can go ahead and really increase the engagement of all of your other tools you put in place, because they're important. So I think client communication is, it's a whole suite of things, right? It's having the right type of communication for all your different type of pet owners and at different times. You know, I may want to pop on somebody's mobile app at one time, but there might be another time I want to call, or there might be a time I want to do an online booking. So I think that the idea of using all of those tools are so important. But you also cannot just sit back and just assume that everybody's going to pop on your website. Nobody's going to use the phone anymore. It's just, you have to be willing to check every box for client communication and make sure that you're delivering it in a way that works for your whole client base. And not just today. Like I said, people change. You never know. I may be in the car and I may want to call because I'm in the car and I want to find out if you have, like I said, a bag of prescription, you know, dog food. There might be another time I'm sitting here on a Sunday and I pop on and I'm going to request my appointment that way. You need to make sure that it's easy for people to do business with you and recognize that.
Yeah. And checking all the boxes. I like that you say that. Yeah. Across the board.
And you can't just assume. I think one of the things a lot of people do is they kind of take it on themselves. What's my perspective? Would I want to do that? Well, if I want to do that, then you figure everybody wants to do that. Well, that's not the case, right? It might be somebody that's a little bit, you know, an older generation that maybe doesn't text as much, but you can't assume that because you don't, other people don't want to, right? You have to hit everybody.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about the future. So what do you think, shake up that eight ball and look in your crystal ball and say, what is the future of client communication in the veterinary practice? We're getting on the phone, we're calling, we're looking on the website, we're downloading the app, we're texting, doing all these things. Do you see that evolving or changing in coming soon in our practices? Or do you see that being consistent, that there's still going to be multimodal types of communication?
I hope it's going to remain multimodal. You know, I hope that we use technology in a way that is a convenience and makes things more affordable, easier to access. My concern is that the whole thing with, I believe, the loyalty and so forth of veterinary care, or actually with anything, is in relationships. So I just read a thing the other day.
Yep.
And they were talking about loyalty for any product is starting to drop. And one of the reasons being is that, and one of the reasons being is because so many people now, they find, rather than going for a personal referral, they're looking online, right? Everything's digital, right? So less personal referrals. So this is kind of my theory, is that if I were to refer you, say, okay, let's say we're doing a remodel, and I say, hey, I just used this great painter, and Andrea, you should use this great painter. He's fantastic. You know, price was great. Everything was terrific. And you go ahead and you hire him or bring him in for an estimate. And the thing kind of goes a little sideways. And you're like, oh, but you already have a little bit of a built-in, I think, loyalty to that person, because your friend just said, and you're thinking to yourself, gosh,
sure, this is,
you're going to, I mean, this is a misunderstanding. I'm going to give him another chance.
Must be abnormality, or something's wrong. Right. She said he was great. What happened?
So I think that when we have personal referrals, we have a little bit of built-in loyalty, right? That the person already comes with that loyalty. We need to remember that people now, we don't have as much of that. And we compare everything to everything, right? We compare the way you're treated at your veterinarian's office to how you're treated at Trader Joe's, to how you're treated when you go into your dry cleaner, and your dry cleaner is like, oh, hey, they know your name. Exactly, right? So we expect that. So I think that we now have to make sure that in an industry that talks a lot about the human-animal bond, we have got to make sure, and I hope hospitals fight to maintain, use as much technology that works for you, but maintain and acknowledge the need for the human-human bond.
Yeah, the relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
So I think, you know, technology's here. It's here to stay. I think it's great. Personally, I'll tell you, I think that, you know, online booking, mobile app, even laser therapy, all of those things. Personally, you know, I think every one of those people should be giving pause time away to all of their clients, because we help increase the ROI of all of those things. We increase the engagement of all those things. You know, I have two veterinarians that I take my animals to. They all use mobile apps. They all use online appointment requests. None of them have ever talked to me about it. Again, not an indictment. It's just the way it is. It's the reality.
Yeah.
So they invest in these products, or these technologies, and yet they're wondering 6 months later, a year later, well, gosh, are we really getting...
Why is they only have 10% compliance or
exactly,
something like that?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think they're all great tools, but I think that we need to make sure that we protect that human-human bond, and that people are still... Like Cheers, right? You know, the whole thing is, you know, where everybody knows your name. I mean, people want...
Everybody knows your name.
People want that.
Right.
They want that. They want to see it. You know, they want to walk in, and the person they talk to on the phone, sometimes they want to see at the front desk. I think use technology, but if you rely on it too much, you will be a commodity and you will be no different than the guy down the street, especially if your pets are coming in for preventive care, because there's nothing different, to be quite honest. This doctor versus this doctor, they're still doing the same thing. They're still getting the same vaccinations. They're still providing, you know, they're still recommending a preventive, you know, a heartworm. You got to kind of change. You've got to make people want to do business with people they care about. And I think it's important. So I think technology is great. I think we need it because we just don't have enough people in this industry. So I think you have
to
have to rely
on
it. And I think that it allows the time. It does kind of take the burden off of some of the people at the desk, which allows them to spend more time with the people that need it and to be there for them.
Can you give our listeners one piece of advice? And maybe it's a piece of advice that you would give your younger self, or just as somebody in leadership and veterinary medicine?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I think that we can sometimes get so caught up in the business of business, and recognizing that the longer, stronger team you have, longevity, the longer they work together, is just makes you a better team in general. So I think that making sure that we're paying attention to the people that work for us, the people that are around us, as well as, you know, I mean, it's easy.
Back to relationships.
Yes. Yeah. It's easy to look at that bottom line, but eventually I think that kind of just works its way out. You know, it just kind of, it's kind of the benefit of doing those things, and it ends up coming your way. So I think it's important to make sure, especially in an industry that people get burned out so quickly and so easily, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So as many practices that you have worked with, Connie, I can imagine that there's a time where you just went, no freaking way, you cannot make this shit up. Just flabbergasted that this has happened. Mm-hmm. Can you share a story with us?
I was thinking about this. So this has actually happened before in my previous company that I worked for. Basically, like I said, primarily dental, right? Customers across the country. So we had a client, a dental practice. We were working with the practice manager and we did the full interview. She loved it. She was great. Everybody got along terrific, got along great with the script writer, submitted the scripting to her. We did our regular edits. You know, she had a few things, but she loved the script. She's like, oh my gosh, this feels just like us. You guys did a great job. So we put it in the studio, record it, and it comes back, send it over to her. It comes back and she calls and she says, you know what? I'm just not happy with this, with these messages. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you loved everything about it. What's the deal? And I probably should have said that she was a practice in New York. And so she says, well, I listened to it. And the problem is that it sounds happy and we don't do happy here. So she went, she had to go back into the studio, cheer down.
Sound grumpy?
Yeah, she wanted, it was too happy for her.
Wow.
We
don't do happy.
It sounded too happy for her. Yes.
Jeez. Don't send her to Disneyland.
I know, right?
Yeah, right.
So we had to actually tell the voice talent, you know, tone it down a bit. And we used to, like, when we did, because then, you know, we did plastic surgery, we did dentistry, and the voice talent would, depending on who they were talking to, or, you know, the messages they were creating, they have a different performance, right? Depending on, you know, who they're doing it for. So we put it back in the studio, tell them to cheer down a bit.
Wow.
And then the other thing is, I used to, in that same company, I had a woman at our front desk, and people would call sometimes and say, hey, I'm having trouble with my messages. You know, they're not, my messages aren't playing. And I used to cringe every time I'd hear her at front desk and she'd say, well, is your hardware plugged up? And we'd always say, don't say plug up.
Oh,
is it plugged up?
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Hey, Andrea here. Have you seen our social media pages? Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also find us on our website, www.positiveleaders.com. And if you like what you see there, be sure to give Rhonda and Linda a shout out over at Dog Days Consulting. They do all of our social media management. They even built our website. Those ladies can work some creative magic for your business and your brand. Check them out on Facebook at Dog Days Consulting or visit their website at www.dogdaysconsulting.com.
So at this point in the show, we're going to go into the rapid fire. Tell me about your most epic failure that has left a lasting impact.
I walked into my job one morning and the attorney was sitting there with my final check.
Tell me about your proudest moment.
When we hit 500 clients, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe we actually did this.
Why veterinary medicine? What do you love about our profession?
It's the people. The people in this industry are fabulous.
Self-care. How do you practice it? How do you decompress?
Sitting outside on a beautiful day, at the end of the day, a glass of wine, earbuds in, listening to an audible, got my animals around me. Just kind of, that's a nice way to decompress for me.
And how do you balance work and life as an entrepreneur? Do you experience any kind of work guilt in that balance?
You know, I really don't. I'm pretty good at just walking away from something. So on the weekends, I really do kind of walk away from it.
What keeps you up at night? Things that stress you out or cause you anxiety in your business?
Probably just wanting to always make things better.
And what gets you up and out of bed in the morning? What excites you to start your day?
Well, my cats are the first thing to get me up out of bed in the morning.
What color best describes you and why?
I think green is one of those colors, right? They can be kind of like in your face or it can be really kind of subtle.
And if you could be any animal in the world, what would it be and why?
I would be an elephant. I just think there's so much to this huge animal that is so soft and so caring.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Connie.
Thanks for coming by the show. We appreciate having you here. If our listeners want to get in touch with you and learn a little bit more about Pause Time, where can they reach out? Where can they find you?
At pausetime.com. So pawstime.com. They can reach out to learn more at pausetime.com. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. So yeah, pausetime.com.
Great. Or at a show. I see you there every once in a while.
Oh, at shows?
Ah,
yeah. Awesome.
Oh, at trade shows? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
We attend VHMA almost every year.
Well, it's been so nice to chat, Connie.
Thank you so much
for coming by.
This was good. Awesome. It was fun.
Yeah, we appreciate your time.
No
and
problem.
Have a
Thank
great
you guys
weekend.
For having me. I appreciate it.
For all the positive leaders listening out there, we hope you learned something to take back to your practice to put into use tomorrow.
We want to hear from you, good, bad, and everything in between. So email us at positiveleaders@gmail.com. That's positive with a P-A-W. Want to hear about a specific topic on the podcast? Email us. Want to have your You Can't Make This Shit Up story featured? Email us.
You can listen to us on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to the Positive Leadership Podcast. And be sure to rate us. Check out our website at www.positiveleaders.com. That's positive with a P-A-W. And as always, catch us on all the socials.
This is Andrea.
And David.
Signing off until next time. Stay happy and sane.
The Positive Leadership Podcast is solely for informational purposes. The information, statements, comments, views, and opinions provided in this podcast are general in nature, and such information, statements, comments, views, and opinions, and the receipt of this podcast by any listener are not intended to be and should not be construed as the provision of any business advice. The information, statements, comments, views, and opinions expressed or provided in this podcast, including by speakers and guests, are those of Andrew Crabtree, David Liss, and their guests only, may not be current, and do not represent the statements, comments, views, and opinions of any other person or business entity. Andrea Crabtree, David Liss, and or the Positive Leadership Podcast do not make any representation or warranty as to the accuracy or completeness of any of the information, statements, comments, views, or opinions contained in this podcast, and any liability, therefore, including in respect of direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage of any kind whatsoever, is expressly disclaimed.